Soulja Boy Tell.
Hello, and welcome to the Tiger's Den. Welcome to the Tiger's Den, everyone, the official LSU podcast of the Dome Patrol United Network. I am your host, Scott. Thank you for joining us. Hopefully you are joining us. If you listened to the Dome Patrol draft show like I asked y'all to, or... Well, let me go back. I guess like I asked, you know, my listeners if they would give us a listen on that. Kind of found out during the show that let me back up, I guess. So during the live draft show, we were on for probably a good 5 hours live on Facebook, and then Jeff did a very good job of editing down the show and released it out. So if you haven't taken a listen, go back and listen to it, because it's really good and funny content. But anyway, there was a couple, we had guests on there, and we invited a couple of our fans, our listeners on there. And there were at least two of them that said, love the Dome Patrol United, love all the podcasts. I listen to all of them except for Scott's Tiger's Den podcast. I was like, okay, that makes me feel great. One of them did say he didn't listen to it because he's more of a Notre Dame fan. The other one said that he was having audio issues or something when he downloaded it, and he was going to possibly try it again. I know when I first started recording, I think there might have been a couple audio issues, but those have, I think, been resolved. I've listened to my podcast because I like to listen back to it just to see if there's anything that I can do better. You know, you always want to perfect your craft and perfect what you're doing, so... And the only way to do that really is to, for one, for me to listen back and listen to things that I may have done or said and try to fix those. And the other thing is really by you fans. You know, anyone who listens to this show, if you have any thoughts or suggestions, and I've said this before, but I definitely bears repeating. If you have any thoughts or suggestions on the show, please don't hesitate to, you know, tweet me at @Tiger_podcast. Follow us on Twitter. You can direct message me if you want to. Anything, you know, if you have some kind of constructive criticism, please, by all means, hit me up. Let me know, because I'll be more than happy to, you know, to make adjustments. And, you know, I do this podcast for two reasons. One is because I like to do it. And I guess that's probably, one of the main reasons is I like to do it. I love doing it. And I love LSU. I love following their sports and following just them in general. And I like talking about them. So that's one big reason. But the other reason, too, is, you know, just for the listener to give them information, maybe information that they hadn't heard, or just to give my perspective on a certain thing maybe they've heard. Maybe... my perspective might give them a second thought of something. I don't know. But anyway, I'm here for you guys. So please, just by all means, tweet us, tweet me, tweet, you know, message me, whatever. And I'll be glad to, you know, if you think, if you have suggestions, I don't mind criticism. You know, I prefer constructive criticism, I guess is what I should say. If you have something constructive to contribute, then by all means, don't just come on there and say, we suck, or, you know, give me, why do I suck? Why, you know, what can I do to improve that would maybe make you listen, or maybe, you know, make a friend listen. So look, just tell all your friends about the Tiger's Den. I'm always looking for more listeners and more downloads, and I appreciate everyone that does listen, even if it's only a few of you. Anyway, we're going to get started with the show, and we are going to talk some LSU football. LSU I guess a big thing, kind of the first talk about, just coming off of, you know, the Tigers that got drafted. So let's just, you know, run through them real quick. There were seven, I believe, Tigers that got drafted. So seven picks in the draft this year, 21 players selected over the past 2 years, which is a two-year school record. I know Ja'Marr Chase got drafted to the Bengals, so he will be rejoining his quarterback, Joe Burrow. Tyler Shelvin also got drafted to Cincinnati Bengals, so congratulations to him as well. Yeah, Ja'Marr Chase. Terrace Marshall went to the Carolina Panthers in the second round, pick number 59. It kind of sucks just because I was really hoping the Saints would take him, but also now he's with Carolina, which is a division rivalry. I hate to have to play against him two times a year because we know he's just a really good wide receiver. Jabril Cox went to the Cowboys, another player that I was hoping the Saints would pick. They didn't. I mentioned Tyler Shelvin went to Cincinnati. Racy McMath went to the Titans in the sixth round. Jacoby Stevens went to the Eagles in the sixth round. And Kerry Vincent Jr. went to Denver in the seventh round. I'm under the personal belief, honestly, that anytime you can get an LSU player on your squad, he's going to do pretty good. If you look at the players that were drafted last year, now obviously last year you had all the players from the national championship team that were drafted. I mean, Joe Burrow, he's just going to be a superstar. Cincinnati just needs to get somebody that can protect. Chase Young was picked. Justin Jefferson obviously had a spectacular rookie season. Patrick Queen also had a spectacular rookie season. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, spectacular rookie season. Anytime you get an LSU player on your team, you're going to get a quality guy. And it really bugs me a lot of times that just the Saints don't draft LSU players. I mean, they just don't. I know Devery Henderson was on their team, and he did very good for a while. But, I mean, they just don't draft LSU players, and it drives me crazy. You know, when Deion Jones came out a few years ago, I really wanted to draft him. And he's done nothing but just been an outstanding linebacker for the Falcons. And, again, somebody else we have to play twice a year. Tyrann Mathieu's another guy. You know, they have these guys, these playmakers that can just go in and kill it. Offense, you know, they seem to be more successful defensively. Patrick Peterson's another one. Yeah, they seem to be more just exceptional defensive players than they do offensive players. I find their offensive players really haven't been, you know, outstanding. I mean, when you look at people like Alfred Blue, did a little bit with Houston, not a whole lot. When who was the other one? Kenny Hilliard really hadn't done much. Odell Beckham's done a good bit. I guess it's the wide receivers is the one. The running backs just haven't translated over to the NFL. But defensive players definitely have. Jardavious White, Deion Jones, like I mentioned, Greedy Williams. You know, just all these guys, these defensive guys. A lot of them defensive backs and linebackers. Jabril Cox, you know, I hopefully will have a good rookie year. Justin Jefferson had a great rookie year. So, you know, there's definitely a pedigree of LSU, great LSU players going into the pros. I just wish the Saints would come around and start drafting some of them. But, well, I guess it is what it is. Some pretty big football news dropped today. And it is the fact that TJ Finley has entered the transfer portal. This news broke this evening. I'm recording on a Wednesday night, so that broke this evening. You know, you almost kind of saw maybe it coming a little bit. You know, the quarterback competition is really going to be between Miles Brennan and Max Johnson. I think Finley probably just saw the writing on the wall. You know, he played, I believe, maybe in three or four or five games last year. Wasn't the greatest. Now, look, you know, he was a freshman, and it's going to take time for him to develop. I wish he would have stuck around, you know, to compete. I really don't like the transfer rules. I really don't. Especially now with a past where you can transfer and, you know, you have a one-time thing where you can transfer and play, you know, that next season. It's good and it's bad. It's good because, there's players that LSU will get. And it's bad because LSU will lose some players. And, I think TJ Finley is probably a quality guy. He's a big guy, has a big arm. Wherever he lands, seriously, best of luck to him. I have no ill will towards a young man. I really hope he lands on his feet and does well. And I really think he will. Like I said, he's a quality quarterback. Just as a freshman, he came in and that's hard to do, man. I mean, you're 18 years old and sometimes 17 years old. And you're playing high school football 1 year and the next year you're starting in front of 100,000 people in Tiger Stadium. I mean, shit, that'd mess with anybody's head, Max Johnson came in as a freshman as well and did a good job. And some guys are just ready, to step in like that more so than others. It's just, and it's nothing against Finley. I think, they gave him the opportunity and I wouldn't say he failed at it, but I wouldn't say he jumped up and grabbed it either. His play didn't blow you away immediately, but it also didn't make you say, oh, well, we're screwed, for the future. And I think when Max Johnson came in, it kind of showed that maybe he was a little more ready. Sometimes, two players look good in practice and they get in the game in that limelight and they freeze. And vice versa. Sometimes they look horrible in practice, but when those lights turn on and they get in the game, they play their asses off. And sometimes you just got to throw them in the deep end and see if they can swim. And when the quarterback went out with the knee injury, they just had to throw their two freshmen in and see what they could do. And Finley kind of drowned a little bit. Max Johnson rose to the occasion. So, I can't fault that. So, just best of luck, TJ Finley, wherever he lands. Wish nothing but the best for him. I wanted to talk a little bit, since talking about football. Once the football season starts, really we'll be pretty much focused on that and on the LSU football team, just because it's a big part of LSU. It's probably the thing that draws. I mean, it is. It's the sport that draws the most money. It's the sport that draws the most fans. And really, once football season rolls around, that's the only thing that's going to really be going on till basketball season starts. And so, I just want to let you know we will be focused on that. It'll definitely become more football centric once the season starts, and we'll be talking about the games that happened, that week, and then also talking about the games coming up and what we expect. It's very hard, I think, this upcoming season to kind of predict where LSU ends up. I believe they opened up in the number 20 slot, I want to say is what it was. So we'll see what they can do. It's just hard to predict because you have a lot of players coming back, but there's a lot of coaching staff that's turned over. We're gonna have a new defensive coordinator, new offensive coordinator, new passing game coordinator, and I really like the way they're going. I think that they brought in some youthful coaches that will get these young men excited about playing football and will hopefully get them pointed in a positive direction. LSU did get a commitment. Football wise, from Ralph Walker. I don't know a lot about the young man. I just saw that he committed, but I'll get some more information. I hope to have very soon. There's a friend of mine named Dustin who I'm hoping to maybe get on next week, and he is very big into LSU recruiting, and so he'll be able to tell us about some of the players that they've been getting and some of the players that could be coming soon. So I'm looking to have him on, and we'll talk some LSU football and kind of break down some of the recruits that they're getting. Looking at the schedule for next year, as we get closer to season, I think I'll have a particular show where I kind of go game through game and maybe tell you what I think LSU's record will be. We'll do some bold predictions, sure to go wrong, which we kind of do on the Dome Patrol show. They open up at UCLA on September 4th in Pasadena. Definitely, I would say a winnable game, but it'll be interesting test to start off with. Then, you have your non-conference games. We have McNeese and Central Michigan. Those should be wins. Then we go to we play against Mississippi State at Mississippi State. They're going to be better. Auburn is next. They will be better. Kentucky is next. They'll be better. Florida, then Ole Miss, then the Big Bama game on November 6th, then Arkansas, ULM, and then their finale against Texas A&M. Look, the SEC, kind of like in baseball, every team is just getting better. They're getting better coaching in and better players. So we'll see what the future holds. We'll see who's named the starting quarterback, and we'll kind of go from there. June 1st marks the opening period for LSU to start having people on campus again, football recruits, and also coaches can travel to meet recruits. So that's something to look forward to. And like I said, when I have my friend Dustin on, we'll talk about that some too. Look at some players that they may be going to see, maybe bringing in, maybe recruiting. I want to kind of segue. I mean, this is just LSU news in general. Congrats to Sam Burns, who won his first PGA tournament. He's 24 years old, the second youngest to win a PGA tournament, and he's an LSU graduate. So and played golf at LSU. So he won the Valspar Championship this past weekend. So just congratulations to Sam Burns on that. I am going to now talk some LSU women's basketball. Right, women's basketball. We mentioned last week about the hiring of Kim Mulkey and how that we had sold, I think it was, we had a deposit on 2,000 tickets, season tickets. Well, that number is now up to 3,000 single season tickets. So we now have deposits on 3,000 season tickets, which is just amazing and just unheard of. And look, it's only been a week since she's been hired. That's going to just go up and up and up and up and up. So that is just awesome. Hats off to them doing that and to the fans stepping up. We wanted to get Kim Mulkey here. We got her, and the fans are really just stepping up, showing just how awesome LSU fans can be. Really looking forward to the basketball season. And look, they've already started bringing in recruits. One of the big ones, Hannah Gusters, is going to be transferring from Baylor to LSU. She's a center from Dallas, Texas, and she's one of the nation's top post players. So you can already see just having Kim Mulkey here, just having her name attached to LSU women's basketball. They're bringing in recruits, and then I was actually reading today that Hannah Gusters, I was just talking to, is heading to the USA Women's Basketball World Cup team trials. So she's going to be playing on the US Basketball World Cup. So that just shows her talent level and just shows the talent level that Kim Mulkey is going to bring in. There was another recruit that signed. I don't have it in front of me right now, but it was supposedly a pretty big get. Look, I'll be first person to tell you I don't know a lot about women's basketball. And what players are out there, but a lot of this I'm getting from other sources, but they are bringing the players in, and that's what they need to do, work with the current players she's got and get new ones in. So looking forward to all that. I am going to transition and give you a little update on some LSU volleyball, LSU beach volleyball. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. So LSU Beach Volleyball, the national championships start this Friday. LSU is the number 4 seed, and they will face the number 5 seed, Loyola Marymount, in the first round on Friday. Trying to see the, it looks like it's in Gulf Shores, Alabama, is where the national championships are. So hey, if you're planning a trip or heading to Gulf Shores this weekend, go check out the Beach Volleyball Tigers. They're playing for a national championship, so I'll give an update next week on that once we get some results. Just good luck to those ladies and go Tigers. That's it. That's all I got for beach volleyball. What much? I just wanted to kind of throw that in there. We're going to shift to some LSU baseball. All right, LSU baseball. LSU went against the Arkansas Razorbacks, the number one ranked Arkansas Razorbacks this past weekend. They were able to take one out of the three, which, you know, going against the number one team, honestly, you probably weren't going to take the series, and you're lucky you didn't get swept. So, Friday night, they ended up playing, well, they played Friday night and ended up playing two games on Saturday due to weather. You know, the first night, to be honest, the game one, Landon Marceau pitched a heck of a game. Let's see what his stat line was. 7 innings pitched, gave up 4 hits and 2 runs. So, you know, he held the national, you know, the number one team to 2 runs. Really, honestly, the bullpen came in and just kind of blew it. And those 2 runs he didn't give up to the seventh inning. And that's when they took him out. I think he got through the seventh inning and they took him out. So he gave up 2 runs. So it was 2-0. You know, it was 2-0 going into the bottom of the seventh. LSU didn't score any runs. They ended up losing the game 7-0. Look, you know, Arkansas kind of opened it up in the eighth, scored 5 runs. But for LSU, you don't hit the ball, you don't score runs, you're not going to win a game. I mean, bottom line, you score 0 runs, you're not going to win a game. LSU had 3 hits in the game. You know, Landon Marceau moved to 4-4. He got the loss. When you only get 3 hits in a game and you're not scoring any runs, you're not going to win. So, you know, that's just the story of baseball. You're not going to win when you don't score any runs. I mean, that's pretty much anything. You don't score, you're not going to win. The second game was, shoot, where'd my score go? The second game was a freaking disaster, basically, from the beginning. Labus had a horrible game. LSU wound up losing 17-10. You know, it's kind of just weird that, not weird, just ironic, I guess, that in the first game, you can't hit worth a shit and you give up 7, but your pitching's great. Your starting pitching's great. And in the second game, your starting pitching's shit, but you actually hit the ball. I mean, you score 10 runs in a game, you know, I'd say 8 or 9 times out of those 10, you're going to win the game. Labus got the loss. He was 3-1. Like I said, it was 17-10. Arkansas scored 7 runs in the fifth inning, 4 runs in the sixth, 5 in the first. LSU did score 6 runs in the seventh inning, but by that time it was really too little too late. Like I said, Labus just had a bad outing. He only pitched 4 innings, gave up 10 hits and 9 runs. That's god awful. Blake Money came in, pitched an inning. Vetmeyer pitched an inning. Hasty pitched an inning. And Millis pitched 2 innings. You know, it's like I said, it's just kind of Money didn't have a great game. You know, he gave up 5 hits and 6 runs, but the other pitchers didn't do too bad. Vetmeyer gave up 2 hits and 1 run. Hasty gave up 1 hit, and Millis gave up 1 hit and 1 run. You know, the first game, the starting pitch is great. But we can't hit, the bullpen fails us. In the second game, the starting pitching sucks, the bullpen's decent, and we smack the cover off the ball. It's kind of like a typical, well, not a typical, it's typical of LSU this season, I guess I should say. You know, it's just a freaking roller coaster, kind of like the basketball team was this year. They're very comparable to LSU's men's basketball team. They are streaky, just streaky, up and down throughout the season. You're praying you can get to the postseason, and if you do, you know, you got a shot. You got, you know, there's a saying, and I used to play a lot of Texas Hold'em poker, and used to watch it on TV a lot, and played a good bit, and you know, they always used to say, you always have a chance. If you have a chip in a chair, you have a chance. If you got a poker chip left in the game, you got a chair to sit in, you got a chance. And, you know, so if LSU makes it to, the SEC tournament or to the regional, you always have a chance, but they'd have to get hot, really quick because there's not a lot of season left. Third game, LSU won 5-4. It really shouldn't have been that close. Arkansas ended up scoring 3 runs in the ninth inning, which made it close. I mean, it was 5-1 going into the ninth, and they scored 3 runs. Like I said, the bats came alive a little bit. Dylan Cruz was 2-for-4. Cade Doody was 2-for-4. It hit a 3-run homer. Mikal Hilliard got the win. He threw pretty good. He looked actually very good. He had 5 innings pitched. He only gave up 2 hits and 1 run. Garrett Edwards pitched 3 innings, gave up 1 hit, no runs. And then Fontenot came in to close in the ninth. He did give up 3 hits and 3 runs, which made it a little bit closer. But Hilliard, just he looked good. He pitched his ass off. A bit of bad news from that, well, just from baseball in general, I guess, is that our catcher Trevinsky, who started some, him and Malaza were kind of starting throughout the year, but Trevinsky had to have Tommy John surgery, kind of similar to the surgery that ended our other pitcher's year. So he had to have Tommy John surgery. He's out for the rest of the year. So it sucks. Defensively speaking, he wasn't great. I mean, just to be honest, he wasn't great, but he could hit the ball and hit it well. Eliza is the opposite. He's great on defense, but he hasn't really been hitting very well. It's a loss. He could have definitely came in handy in a possible pitch hit situation later in the year. Just hopefully he'll get a good recovery and get back to the team next year. He's out for the year. LSU played on Monday. They usually have a Tuesday game. I don't know if they moved it up because of weather. But they played Monday against Southern. Actually, the game was scheduled for Tuesday, May 4th. They played Southern and they won 10-2. They pretty much jumped out pretty quick in this game and just never looked back. Let's see. Coleman got the win. He is 2-0. Let's see. Homer started the game, went 1 2/3, gave up 2 hits. It seems like he keeps pitching Helmers midweek and maybe pitches him an inning or two and then pulls him, I guess, to kind of keep him warm. I don't know. And then maybe he'll start Sunday. They haven't announced any kind of who's going to start that third game. Obviously, you're going to have Marceau and Labus the first 2 games. And coming up is Auburn. Auburn is a interesting team. They're a decent team. They kind of actually remind me of this LSU team to where they're kind of up and down a little bit. LSU has the better team overall, but Auburn is no slouch by any chance, by any means. I mean, it's a series where, LSU could sweep it, or they could win it, or they could only win one game, or get swept. It's just it depends on what LSU team shows up. It is at Auburn. The first game is actually on Thursday at 6:30. It is on ESPNU. Friday's at 7 on SEC Network, and Saturday is on SEC Network Plus at 2 p.m. Then the midweek game next week is against La Tech. Then we go Bama, Northwestern, and then A&M, and that's the season, folks. LSU right now has 7 conference wins. They really need to get to at least, I would say, 13 conference wins to, baseball's a little bit different. Not every team makes it into the SEC tournament. So if they don't make it to the SEC tournament, they won't make it to a regional. They'll be done. If they do make it to the SEC tournament, it's possible that we get a, get into a regional, but it's going to be difficult. They're going to need at least 13 wins, I would think, just to get into the SEC tournament. You have a chance to, possibly sweep Auburn. If you can sweep Auburn and get 3 wins, then you're up to 10 SEC wins. You only need 3 more out of the last 6. It's going to be a tough road against Bama. They have a good team, and it's going to be tough against Texas A&M too, and that's an away game. So that's the final series of the year. It's gonna be interesting. It's gonna be kind of a photo finish. They've definitely dug themselves into a hole. and we'll see if they can pull themselves out of it. So, the end of the schedule, Auburn's not ranked, Bama's not ranked, and A&M's not ranked. So, there's definitely a fighter's chance, and like I said, chip in a chair. They definitely have a chance and could possibly get to that 13 win level. That would just be fantastic. And that, it doesn't guarantee them to get into the SEC tournament, but I think if they had 13, they would probably get in. And then, hopefully have a good showing in the tournament and get to a regional, man. If they get to regional, get hot at the right time, maybe they can make a run. I don't know. If they don't make the SEC tournament, I really think, even if they do, but specifically if they don't, I guess Mainary's just got his time is done. I've talked extensively about him and just about all the mistakes his team makes and just how bad he is. Oh, so bad. Cool little note, kind of just talking about LSU baseball. My daughter is in 8th grade at Menard, Archbishop, Holy Savior Menard, I'm sorry, Holy Savior Menard High School in Alexandria, Louisiana. And Warren Morris came and spoke to her class today. She was very excited when she got into the car this afternoon when I picked her up to tell me that Warren Morris came and talked to him. She was like, "I can't wait to get home and tell my dad." That's all she kept thinking. Once he told her his story, it's kind of an interesting story. He talked about how, he just wasn't the greatest ball player in the world, but he just kept working and working. When he got to LSU, he was kind of quiet and really didn't know anyone, and ended up, of course, eventually hitting that home run to win the College World Series. Actually, when my daughter got in the car, I showed her the clip of him hitting it, and I still get goosebumps watching that. I watched it live. It was back in '96. I remember watching it live with my dad. And if you don't remember, shame on you, first of all. But just in case you don't, he had broken his hand earlier in the year, or his wrist, and I hadn't played much, and he just coming off that injury, and hadn't hit a home run all year. And came up in the College World Series, the championship game, and first pitch hit a home run over the right field fence to win the game. He went later went on to play for Team USA in the Olympics, won a bronze medal, and then went on and played a bit with the Pittsburgh Pirates. So he's had a coming from a kid who really wasn't great at baseball by and just awkward with it, he said, and worked his way and just kept on going and kept on working. It's just an amazing story. And he works locally here in Alexandria now, so every now and then he'll pop up. I did get to meet him once. A buddy of mine, Matt Burns, who played at LC, played baseball at LC and coached there for a while with his dad, Mike Burns, who is still the head coach. Anyway, Matt got inducted into the LC, I don't know if it was LC Sports Hall of Fame or the LC Baseball Hall of Fame, one of the two, and they had a little get together at his house afterwards, or at his parents' house afterwards, and Warren Morris was there because Matt was friends with him. And I actually got to meet Warren Morris and talk to him a little bit, and really just awesome guy, down to earth, very humble, just regular dude. You wouldn't know by looking at him that he did all these amazing things, but he did, and it was just really a treat to meet him. I do feel bad. I feel like I've almost failed as an LSU father, because my daughter had no idea who he was until he started talking and he told his story, and that's on me. I should have ingrained in her who this person was, being an LSU fan. Like, he's probably the most famous, one of the most famous LSU baseball players ever, and had one of the most famous moments, not just in LSU baseball history, but in college baseball history. And for me as a father, not to have shown her that clip or conveyed to her who this person was, she should have walked into that auditorium to hear that speech and seen him and be like, "Holy crap, that's Warren Morris." And but she had no clue who he was until he started talking. So, dads, if you're out there, sometimes I overlook the fact. I think about how I grew up and everything that I've seen and done, and I almost forget to tell my kids about that kind of stuff. and it to tell them about the history of things. And I one good thing as a father that I did was my oldest daughter got her into Star Wars, so that was one good thing that I did as a father. We've watched all the movies together. I made her watch all the old Star Wars movies, as a matter of fact. So by the time she was born, I want to say they had done episode one and two. So they did four, five, and six, then it went back into one and two. I don't know, this is getting way off the topic of LSU, but forgive me for a minute. And but I made her go back and watch it in the order it came out. So she watched episode four first, A New Hope, then Return of the Jedi. I mean, not Return of the Jedi, I'm sorry, then Empire Strikes Back, then Return of the Jedi, and then we went back and watched Phantom Menace and then the other ones. So I made her watch it in chronological order, that they came out, not episode order. But dads, if you're a dad and you have a young daughter or son, make sure you go back and you tell them and show them the history of your favorite team, whether it be LSU or your favorite NFL team or your favorite baseball team. Go back and tell them about the history. Tell them about the famous people. Tell them about music that you used to listen to when you were younger and when a song comes on the radio, tell them who's singing the song. Tell them, I listened to this song back in 1993 and it was my favorite song and blah, blah, blah. And show them old movies that you watched growing up. Star Wars, Back to the Future, Jaws, show them all those things. Because otherwise, if you don't do it, they're not going to learn it. They're not going to know, who people are. If I hadn't, told my daughter that Aerosmith was one of my favorite bands, she would have never known who the hell Aerosmith was. Make them listen to older music that you grew up with. Tell them who the artists are. Make them watch videos, old music videos. Make them watch old movies. Give them, that's the only way that, they're going to learn any kind of history, because they're just so focused on what is now, and what's happening during their lifetime. And it's more so now, I think, than before, because I know when I grew up, my dad used to show me old stuff. He used to play oldies music in the house and tell me who sang the songs and told me about dances he went to. He showed me old TV shows. I mean, I grew up watching The Honeymooners and The Three Stooges in black and white. And, that stuff wasn't on when I was, that those weren't new shows when I was coming up as a kid. Those were from the 50s and the 60s. But he showed me that stuff and I learned from it. And I think we fail youth today when we don't go back and show them old movies and show them old, listen, make them listen to old music and show them old TV shows, show them how things were in the past, show them old technology, show them a VCR, a videotape, show them an old rotary phone, show them how we used to have to use it and used to have to dial. Show them those freaking plastic see-through phones that we used to have back in the day that were corded. Please just show them all that stuff. Those who do not know their history are doomed to repeat it. It's just a famous line from history, and it's true. And everything comes back around. Why do you think all these kids nowadays are like, hey, maybe we should try socialism? Maybe it'll work. Maybe now that we're here and we should try this thing. And it's like, no, that doesn't work. They've tried it in the past. It's horrible. Don't do that. Show them, show them, show them. It's the only way this future is ever going to survive is if they study the past and we show them the mistakes that were made and show them the good things that were done. Help get those creative juices out. And again, I'm sorry, I know I've gone off on a completely different tangent, but I just felt it was important, and I don't know. I just went on a long tangent there. Anyway, it's not just about LSU all the time. Sometimes it's just about life in general that we talk about here on the Tiger's Den. So, anyway, that is all the show. that we have for you right now. I want to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all your friends about the Dome Patrol United Network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the 2-Point Conversion Insurrection Show, which we do after Saints games. The Dome Patrol podcast. Please go, if you didn't listen live to the draft show, it is posted on our podcast page. Go and listen to that. It was a good show. Listen to Jason just go crazy after our first round pick. There's nothing better than a drunk Jason, because he just rambles on and just he talks and repeats himself and doesn't shut up, and it's just quite entertaining and quite fun to just poke at him while he's drunk, and he just keeps on rambling. It's kind of funny. Anyway, the BS and Beer Saints podcast, look, they just put out a new show on a draft recap. Dave, Wesley, and Heath did a tremendous job of recapping the draft and recapping the Saints picks and kind of going into, you know, why the Saints picked who they did, and what they think that they will be able to contribute to the team. So if you're a Saints fan, go back and listen to that show. It was a good show they did this week. Also, the Pelican Plunge, the Premier League podcast, Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, and, of course, the Tiger's Den, which you're listening to now. Follow each show on Twitter, at Dome Patrol PCast, at Dome Patrol UK, at BS and Beer Media, at Taking the Over, and at Tiger_podcast. Again, I said it earlier, constructive criticism, please give it to me. You know, that guy on, you know, Mr. Coach Klein on the draft show said that, you know, he had audio issues. And so I went back and I'm making sure that we don't have any audio issues anymore. So I'm trying to work on fixing any issues. So if there's any problems, any issues, let me know. Follow us on Facebook for live streams. Just search for Dome Patrol Podcast. And if you want to listen the old-fashioned way, go to DomePatrolPodcast.com. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you on the other side. Good night, Tiger Nation.
Hey, fighting Tigers, fight all the way. Hey, fighting Tigers, win the game today. You've got to know how you're doing fine. Hang on to the ball and you hit the wall and stand right through that line. You gotta go for the touchdown. Run up the score. It might be time, God, stand right up. And